Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's a beautiful day in the neighbourhood, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Jose Mourinho beat Pep Guardiola. Liverpool gubbed Southampton and Everton had a wonderful comeback win at Watford. Hello, everybody. My name's Marcus. Luke's over there.
All right.
Jim's above there.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson's in Japan.
Japan?
Japan.
Yeah.
Always assume he's there if he's not here.
Absolutely.
Is that a safe assumption, though? Could it all be a smokescreen?
Could be a ruse. Like, a lot of flat earthers believe that Australia, to kind of satisfy their ruse and the things that people have pointed out, they now argue that Australia doesn't exist.
Yes.
They say that like it's populated by actors. It's like not a real thing. Maybe Pete's doing that with the beautiful country of Japan.
Yeah, or maybe Pete is one of those actors and he's got a shift.
Yeah, everyone
looks like Pete. There's probably an Australian one out there that is him.
I thought it was ridiculous until you said that. And I thought, do you know what?
Makes sense.
Could be a theory I could get on board with.
Either way, it makes you think.
It certainly does. Let's go straight to Jose Mourinho.
Yes. The one who stole the show.
Oh, you're the special one.
We also got, is this the first show since the transfer window slammed shut as well?
Oh, yes.
So we can talk about Odion Ighalo later, right?
We can.
Yes.
Don't worry about that.
Good.
I know you're itching.
Yeah.
We certainly can. We can talk about Stevie, as Jose Mourinho would prefer to call him, rather than Stephen. Is it Bergwijn? Bergwijn?
Bergwijn, I think.
Bergwijn, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Let's call the whole thing off.
Indeed. When it was a big win for Jose Mourinho and his merry men, he was at his vintage best, wasn't he, Mourinho?
Yeah.
Maybe not in terms of tactics, because let's be honest, Manchester City should have won that game. But in terms of his shithousery.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the sideline, Jim, you look like you've got something to say.
Well, it's it's infectious, clearly, isn't it? Because did you see what Pep Guardiola said after the game?
Go on.
He was talking about Liverpool being 22 points clear.
Yeah.
And he said, well, be interesting to see if Richard Scudamore thinks there's a problem with that. Because 2 years ago, he said it was a problem that City were 19 points clear. So that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? It's like, wow.
Did he?
Jose's got in your bald, fraudy head, isn't it? behaving like him, like a parasite.
Did he? I saw some of the quotes.
The tone was my own, Marcus, I will confess. Yeah.
And some of those words I'm suggesting, because I'm not sure. I was
paraphrasing, yes.
I think, I'm not sure if Guardiola was as direct as people are saying. It was put to him, I think, by the journalists, that, you know, when they ran away with it with 100 points and, what was it, 19 points.
Exactly.
And Scudamore said, well, it's not good for the Premier League. We want it to go down to the last day, which is understandable. That was put to him. And obviously, he's a bit disappointed because he does feel that that he gets a few barbs now and then, which he does. So,
I think if you hadn't been, if you've not been wound up by Jose Mourinho, are you saying that at all?
Well, Mourinho wasn't asking. I mean, was Mourinho posing with a tash?
Yeah.
No, but I feel
that Mourinho's properly back now.
Yes.
I think I was going to ask you, Jim, you know, because Marcus references Mr. Mourinho's shithousery. I should get the word right.
There's just no better term, is there?
No, no, exactly.
You're reaching for it.
But what percentage are you pleased that he's back in the Premier League football-wise, and what percentage is it because you know you're going to get some of these antics?
For me,
it's at least 50-50.
Yeah. I'm quite tired of him, to be honest. And I was like,
change your tune?
Yeah, no, when did I say I wasn't?
You just seemed a bit excited earlier, that's all.
Oh, no, oh, yeah, I just think that incident is funny. Mm. But Mourinho and Spurs, it, for obvious reasons for me, is a nightmarish combination where there is going to be some horrendous payoff at some point. I don't know what it is yet.
I mean, I was too personally invested.
Exactly.
I was at the game yesterday, and I felt like, of course, it was massively a game of two halves, and you know, I mean, up to kind of about 10 minutes after half time, City were obviously the dominant team, and it was very difficult to see a way that Spurs could get anything out of the game. I mean, they only had three shots on top of the whole game, and lots been made of that. But they had to ride their luck, and I think what City did quite badly, I thought, was they got dragged down into a street fight, and it made me remind. I might have used this analogy before. I'm sure I have because I've been doing this for 12 years. That if you've got a really good technical boxer against a slugger, the last thing the technical boxer wants to be doing is getting into a street fight. He wants to just use his skills. And City are a better team than Spurs at this point. Mm-hmm. But they got dragged in. And I think that Mourinho knew they'd have to ride their luck. They defended pretty resolutely. City cut through a couple of times, as you'd expect, but they didn't score. And then they got dragged down. And of course, as soon as Zinchenko gets the second yellow, which is a dictionary definition of second yellow.
There's been a lot of people going, oh, that seems a little bit harsh. It's like, you meant
no way,
like,
no yeah. way, yeah. no way. And also, City were the better team in the first half. They had the lion's share of possession and all the shots, but it could have been even worse for City, because I think I was quite near where that Sterling challenge happened, and it looked a nasty one. And then I couldn't believe it went to VAR, and it wasn't upgraded to a red. Then I watched it again, and I still can't believe it wasn't upgraded to a red. And I'm talking about a man. I'm a man who's got Raheem Sterling as my fantasy team captain.
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to see is a red card for him.
Yeah.
But for me, that there's no difference between that and the Aubameyang one that was upgraded to a red. Crazy decision.
I thought Sterling was very lucky.
Yeah.
And I think Mourinho also felt that as well, didn't he?
Yeah. That was brilliant.
Well, with
the second yellow one, that's just brilliant. How could you not love
exactly,
that?
Exactly, Jim. Come on, this is what we're saying. I understand.
Do you know what it reminded me of?
Go on.
Hodgson and Sammy Lee every day I'm shuffling.
Oh, yes. that was very good indeed. Yeah. I think Mourinho, you know, he made his feelings well known, but Sterling was fortunate to not get a red card. I mean, let's be honest there, that could have easily turned into that, and you know, Dele Alli was lucky not to be quite hurt,
badly injured.
One.
Yeah,
and then of course VAR took a while to give Manchester City that penalty.
Can I just say?
I mean, what was it like at the stadium?
Well, I don't know what it was like when you watched it on TV, but it was.
I went to make three cups of tea.
Yeah, I couldn't even say it was terrible. It was just confusing.
Yeah.
No one around me knew what was happening. No one knew what it was for.
Because the ball never went out of play. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because actually, watching it on TV, the commentators joked. I think Martin Tyler and Jamie Carragher said, imagine if they pull it back now, it'd be the longest VAR stop we've yet had. And then that happened.
So I heard that, you get rumours that go around the stadium, I suppose, but a guy next to me was the first one to say, well, it might be for that penalty. Mm. And my friend that I was with, he had called it as a penalty straight away because we were quite close to it. And he said, oh, yeah, it's a pen. It's a definite pen. Mm. I mean, it turned out to be a pen. I think he was probably a bit lucky there, but with his call. But the guy on the other side of me was the first guy to say, I think he's going to put it back for that penalty. And it was like, no, surely not. And then what happened was apparently Mike Dean was told by the VAR official, look, you're going to have to stop the play because it's gone for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it was 1 minute, 55 seconds, every single thing that happened, whether it's a stat, a completed pass, a tackle, all just gets wiped.
That's right.
Right.
There's got to be a better. It's got to be something better than
because
that.
Because if they go up the other end and score, then you bring it back. Or what happens then, as you say, because all those stats get wiped. Now, what if someone puts in a big reducer? I mean, that still counts because it doesn't matter whether that passage of play counts or not. If you can't just smash someone and go, oh, well, it didn't count, referee. You've still hurt someone.
Yeah.
But it is confusing. And I think with those kind of decisions, I don't think anyone would complain too much if somebody, you know, the ball, you get VAR straight away on it and someone has to be quicker. And so if the ball's cleared up the other end, someone says, stop the play now. Mm. And so you stop the play. Hang on, we're just going to have a look at that. No, okay. And you give an indirect, well, obviously you're going to score from your own box, but you give a free kick or something there. That's the kind of the rule. But otherwise it goes, to wait for the ball to go out of play, that could be really problematic.
This is maybe a bit of a cheeky question, but I'm interested in your thoughts because you guys saw it a different way to me. Did you think that was a big enough error to warrant a turnover of a penalty? Because it's a very close call. I don't think you could definitely 100% say that he didn't get a tiny, tiny like atom on the ball.
But we're not doing clear and obvious, are we, like they say? Mm. We're doing, do you genuinely think it is or isn't?
Yeah, but I think in that case, it's got to be clear and obvious for it to be overturned. He's missed it and it's clear.
I understand, but I think the term, or the, you know, the words clear and obvious are just pointless now.
Yeah,
we see that with some of the offsides, with some of the handballs and so on. It is not clear and obvious.
But they don't use clear and obvious for offsides.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
It's just an absolute minefield. It's stupid that you go into games and you experience it in that way. And I know it shouldn't all be about money. Although we're told because there's so much money in football now, we have to have VAR. People pay a lot of money to go and watch football matches. I mean, Sunday night. You know, it's a nightmare getting home from Spurs anyway. If you don't finish till 6:30 and you don't live right around the corner, it takes you a long time to get home. If you've got kids, you've already paid through the nose, and you get that kind of nonsense. It's just not conducive to. I mean, okay, fine. It ended up working out in Spurs' favour because they saved the penalty anyway, et cetera, et cetera. Just let the referee the game. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. People around me, I mean, it's a smallest sample size, I suppose. Of a few hundred people, there was no one around me who wasn't just completely confused by what was happening.
Yeah.
And that can't be right. It can't be right.
Yeah, we've seen it in every stadium in the Premier League this season, and it's they need to shake it up. They really need to shake it up.
They need to sharpen it up because sometimes it can be quite handy. You know, for example, at was it Crystal Palace where Ward was going to be sent off?
Yep.
Yeah, that and was downgraded to a yellow. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so sometimes you see it implemented, and it's...
but I think the fact that it's implemented correctly in some cases shouldn't negate the fact that the Sterling thing and the way it was implemented for the penalty, et cetera, shouldn't be glossed over.
Yeah. It is its first season, though, isn't it? And it is a huge. It's probably the biggest change possibly ever in football, really. So. Mm. You know, who knows? Maybe it will be ironed out. Maybe it will get better.
Lovely debut goal for Bergwijn, though.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and what an adorable celebration as well.
He loved it, yeah.
Looks a very happy, nice young man.
He looks a decent player. He showed some good touches. And
it was a beautiful goal. It really was. Man City, though, some of the chances they missed. I mean, you could just feel Mourinho giggling away every time they missed one.
Yeah.
He just thought,
here we go.
I have seen football long enough to know that you're not going to get anything out of this game.
Yeah. And he was very happy until he found out Sterling was on a yellow.
Do you think Sterling should have been given a second yellow?
Well, for the dive?
Well, for the suggested dive.
I don't think it was a dive.
No, I don't think
it was. After the penalty?
Yeah.
Yeah, the rebound. I don't, not for me.
Yeah,
not
well,
for
that, me. But that's but what Mourinho was fuming about.
But he should have won the pitch anyway. One thing I was sort of prepared to bring to you guys just as a question, because Liverpool have done so well and they're going to be champions and they deserve it and they've been brilliant. But because of that, I think... it's gone a bit under the radar how problematic Man City have been. They're 8 points worse off this season than they were last season.
I don't think it has gone under the radar because that's why Guardiola's getting a bit prickly because people are looking at him going, how are you going to sort this out? You know, almost like when they're talking to a manager like Moyes or Howe down at the bottom saying, how are you going to, I mean, I know Bournemouth won, but... And Guardiola's getting annoying and he keeps saying, you know, this is a fantastic team. And it is a fantastic team. And they've won loads of trophies, for crying out loud. We can't forget that. And inertia may set in a little bit, but they're not having a disaster of a season. It's just in light of Liverpool being so flipping good.
I suppose they've raised the bar themselves, and it's probably a bit unfair to kind of criticise them.
They have, but they've lost six games this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the start of the season, you'd be surprised if they lost that over a campaign, really.
I agree.
So they I think it's been difficult for them to try and keep pace with Liverpool, isn't it? Once they lost touch with them, and it got to a point where it looked unlikely. I mean, how do you stay motivated? Mm. And it looks like...
They're waiting for the Champions League, really, aren't they?
Realistically, yeah. It looks like the rest of the league just like... I mean, are Man City seventh or are they second? Like, it's like... No. It all feels like a big soup.
They're very much second.
You know what I mean, though?
Not with Man City. We'll get to the rest of the division.
What I mean is that Liverpool are so far away that, you know, everything else is pointless, apart from the relegation.
Yeah true.
Winksy was good.
Harry Winks was very good.
I like him as a player. I like watching him live. He's good.
I think he did very well in there. I just...
Birthday boy as well.
Was he really?
Birthday yesterday, I think, yeah.
How old?
24?
20s.
All in our 20s. That's the fact. 20s.
Yeah, I think just to finish with this, with Mourinho, I don't think he's back to peak Mourinho. I think we saw a bit of it there. Next season. This is what I mean. This, to me, is a bedding in on the charm offensive. Well, it's a little bit of a little bedding in. You know, I've won the leadership race for this particular...
So the eye-poking will come next season.
Campaign will be next season.
This season will be framed as an absolute miracle that he came in halfway through it. Yeah.
And they didn't get relegated.
Window. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, you're right. Next
big
season
summer
be
signings.
The main stage.
There won't be a tiny little horse next season.
Yeah. You wonder if Liverpool will be able to close it out, though, because their next games in the league are tricky. I mean, Norwich, West Ham, Watford and Bournemouth. Yeah.
Well, they beat Southampton, of course. I mean, I'd like to start by saying that Southampton, they played well for the most part. They actually created some openings. They worked well. They were fairly well organised. They gave a good account of themselves at Anfield, and they lost 4-0.
Yeah.
I mean, I genuinely believe all that to be true, especially
completely.
The 4-0 bit.
It's absolutely right. I mean, once Liverpool got that goal, they were just like, oh, yeah, brilliant, let's get a few more.
Yeah.
Like, if they can just decide.
Hasenhüttl was right with his comments when he said that he was proud of his team and the way they played.
They were good.
They've been 4-0. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
And at the same time, the scoreline doesn't flatter Liverpool. Four excellent goals.
I like the fact that a load of actually quite butthurt people on Twitter were trying to obfuscate this win by saying, oh yeah, but Andrew Robertson did a pass back to Alisson and it wasn't picked up, it's a sham. I mean, probably not going to tilt the balance of the result, I would have thought. Yeah. But ultimately, it's a missed opportunity, it's a missed decision. But really, it's not the end of the world.
It was a glaring one, though, wasn't it?
It was weird.
Yeah. It was a strike. I can't believe the referee never gave it. But then Firmino should have had a penalty as well. So it's one of those ones. And Hasenhüttl also said after the game, I would like to watch this game if we went one goal up. For 50 minutes, the best team in the world had no real chances and we had a massive one.
But it would have been 4-1.
It would have been... In fact, it probably would have been 5-1 because they would have made sure they got that 4-goal cushion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool, they've won 20 home Premier League games in a row. They've gone 42 games unbeaten in the top flight. Only Arsenal's run of 49 league games in 2003 into 2004 stands in their way for the all-time English top flight record. It's just phenomenal. You're running out of words to say. This is almost like describing the peak seasons of Messi and Ronaldo with Liverpool. You run out of superlatives, don't you?
Do you know who their 49th will be against?
No.
It's at the Etihad, I think.
Is it really?
Oh, I thought you could say it was Arsenal, which would have been quite
No, it's Everton. They've got to get through Everton away. Mm. I think the 49th will be... What, they are now 43?
42.
42. In the, oh, hang on a sec. 43, 44, 45, 46, 47. Yeah, it will be. It'll be Man City.
No.
49th. The 50th would be their game at home to Aston Villa. Fancy them there.
Yeah.
To be honest, yeah.
Although they could be starting from scratch in that game.
I can't think of anything to say. They're really good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you want from me?
Well, let's hone in on wee Geordie Henderson, because Alan Shearer said that Henderson would be his player of the season so far. He said, I think his words were, if the season was to stop now, he would say Jordan Henderson would be player of the season, which is huge praise indeed.
Yeah.
And also, Henderson, not one of the more... headline grabbers of that side, considering they have Salah and Mane and Firmino in there, to name a few.
Yeah, but he's become, you know, what you would call an engine room, isn't he? Mm. He is really, really just keeps them ticking along in the middle and just directs the play almost.
I said it a few weeks ago, like when everyone was having this debate about whether Henderson was actually decent or not, he's just getting about his business, winning things.
Yeah,
you know. And
do you think if you were to kind of mic him up during the game and he was running around, you would hear is it's just business.
It's just business.
It's just business.
It's just business, Leek. Now just get on with it. Big tackle, business time. Big pub, business time.
Big players.
Yeah, it's about big players. Yeah,
I'll invoice you later.
Yeah. Yeah, he's absolutely superb, isn't he? Do you think he ever gets tired? The energy that man has is absolutely phenomenal. And when you say he's becoming the engine, he's been in that engine room for ages.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, he's just made of pistons.
I wonder if you asked Jurgen Klopp, who, I mean, you probably would say they're all important, but if you had to say who his most important player is.
VAR. <Yeah. laughs>
Would it be the referee in Stockley Park?
It must be.
No. He might say Henderson, you know.
There is a thing, isn't there? Manchester City fans are quite keen to suggest that.
Well, there's a hashtag, Liverpool.
Yes. Is that from Manchester City fans mainly?
I think it's from everyone else that can't handle what's happening.
That can't process reality. Yeah.
There's a lot of Liverpool fans who are putting unbearable in their Twitter handles as well. And I love it.
Yeah.
22 points. Are you taking the piss? They certainly are, ladies and gentlemen.
So the record's 20. The record's 19 points, isn't it? 100 points, and they may not have got 81.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to beat that.
Do you think they should start? Do you think Klopp? Let's throw a few games, lads, just to have them on, and then we'll blast.
They could lose their next 7 games in a row and still be top, even if the other teams won every single game.
Do you know what the way it's going?
Sorry, stat I heard, if you put Man United and Arsenal's points together, Liverpool are still 6 points ahead of them.
Yeah, the way it's going, they could lose probably every other game of the season and you wouldn't trust anybody else to do it.
So they're just trading points. It's weird because you look at a team like Spurs, they've got 37 points in 25 games. I've got no stats to back it up, but that to me just seems rubbish. Mm. To be fifth, that's rubbish. Mm.
Well, let's talk about the battle for fifth then. Watford were beaten 3-2 by Everton. It was a superb comeback from Ancelotti's army.
What you're calling them now?
Well, I mean, it's open to suggestions, of course. That's what I've gone with.
Did anyone else just massively not trust Walcott to finish that?
Oh my God, yeah.
No, I knew he was going to score.
Delighted he did for him.
England fan knew he was going to score. Arsenal fan did not trust him.
Mm. But we're both delighted, though.
Yeah, I was pleased for him.
Very likable man, Theo Walcott. I think there's a tiny bit of Scouse creeping into his accent as
Do you
well.
Think?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh. Best accent in the Premier League is Hector Bellerin's.
Oh, absolutely.
He sounds like a proper Cockney.
Spockney.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I like that. Was anybody else a bit concerned seeing Nigel Pearson calmly saying the post-match, disappointing is an understatement?
They are dead.
They are absolutely
dead.
I thought those Watford players, we might not see some of them again.
But at least now Troy Deeney's fit. Troy Deeney is doing the punishing. Like Troy Deeney, apologies if you've not seen The Wire, but Troy Deeney is the Chris Partlow to Nigel Pearson's Marlo Stanfield. It's just the enforcer.
Doing
all the dark
Absolutely.
Stuff.
As well, that whole scenario with Pearson in that post-match interview, it's like when something has gone awry at school, a bad thing has happened, and then in the assembly, the scariest teacher says, we know who's responsible, we'll be dealing with it.
But they don't, do they, when they say that? They're trying to flush you out.
Yeah, maybe.
Trying to flush you out.
Yeah, but you don't know, though, especially at that age.
Exactly.
Nigel Pearson can watch the tape back, he'll know.
Do you think Pearson and Deeney, like, if they clashed, would the whole club just explode?
It's possible. It's possible. You'd see it from space.
But do you think there's too much mutual respect? They think, no. This would be stupid.
I don't think there's anything to gain from either of them.
Exactly, yes. They're going to be on the same side, aren't
they? Are they this generation's Keane and Ferguson?
Oh.
They end up hating each other. Well, they won't win any trophies, but they end up hating each other. But I think he's got grounds to be particularly annoyed, given that it was 2-2 there at home. Oh, Everton went down to 10 men. Mm.
Because they're 2-0 up.
Some of the goals was it the first Mina goal?
Yeah.
Really bad.
It was
I think the second like Mina goal is worse because the first one happened at all. Like, learn your lesson.
The second one, it wasn't a powerful header.
No.
I mean, Mina did well, you know.
But he was blatantly thinking, I might do this again now. They're not stopping.
I've got the keys to the city here.
Yeah. I like Yerry. Yeah. I like Yerry, man. I like the cut of his jib.
No, I don't like him because you shouldn't like him because he scored a header against England in the World Cup.
No, come on. Nervy.
And the reason you shouldn't, let me finish.
Yeah.
The reason you shouldn't like him, because not just because he scored a header, but because it whitewashed over the greatest save of our generation by Jordan Pickford.
Yeah.
Because Colombo just went to score from the corner.
That's
so
right.
No one remembers the save. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
It was brilliant.
Yeah. If people say, was it going in? It could have been going just wide. The angle was not conclusive.
Do you know what I say to people who say that?
Up yours.
Never talk to me again.
Never.
And then normally say, all right.
Some things are bigger than football, and I like the cut of Yerry Mina's lib. He's jib. He's got a lovely lib, whatever that may be. Yes. That's maybe how you pronounce
it. Was it a bad daddy
Spanish.
Office for your beloved Fabian Delph?
It was. Yeah. Two yellow. Second one seemed a bit harsh, Jim.
I can't remember it.
I'm just going to fess
up. You know
up.
What? I was looking at him thinking, we could get the truth of Jimmy, or he might have a go. Yeah, I'm interested to see what he's going to do.
There's a lot of football every weekend, isn't there? It's like,
I was thinking, thank God for that, because I can't either.
Yeah, no.
All right, well, it's down to me then.
Take us through it, Marcus.
Yeah. He punched the bloke, and it was down, it was in front of the linesman, actually, or the referee's assistant, and it was a little bit, it wasn't a stamp on his foot, but he went in for the tackle, and it's hard to describe, really. I'm sure most people listening will remember. I just thought it was a bit harsh, actually. Mm. Second yellow, and down to, you know, but then Ancelotti, you see him come into play there, because a little bit of a shift around. He put Holgate into the midfield. He brought on Michael Keane. And so they were going for the point. But that breakaway with Richarlison bombing down the left, and you can see Walker, was it a 94-yard run, I think they clocked it on Match of the Day?
Yeah.
And I was so delighted for him, because Moise Kean came in and sort of scuffed the shot.
Well, do you think he scuffed it? Because actually, from an angle, it looked like it was deliberate.
Oh, if it was deliberate, that would be absolutely that would be Guti-esque.
Yeah, no, it looked brilliantly cushioned. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit.
I think you might be, but I mean, I'm all, if you can present this theory, perhaps, like the flat earthers and Pete Donaldson, then I'm all ears. But I do think it was a bit of a scuff.
Am I being harsh if I say that Theo Walcott should be running 94 yards, because that's literally the only thing he does?
I mean, it
runs all over the place really fast.
But it was what, in the 91st minute or something?
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
And they were down to 10 minutes, so they'd been defending quite stoutly for 20 minutes. This is impressive.
I don't think there's anything wrong with. I love watching Walcott put the afterburners on. I like any fast player doing that. But I'm just saying, Walcott's not exactly known for anything else, is he?
Yeah.
To be fair to Walcott.
Finally, he delivered.
To be fair to Walcott, if you've got in a situation like that, all you can do is shoot. So if you don't have the option to dribble it out for a throw, then you're not going to.
That is true, yeah. That is true.
Or a goal kick, Jim.
So he famously got 100 goals over 10 years at Arsenal, right?
Yeah.
Do you know how many times he'd run the ball out for a throw? Is it similar? Because it should be a bit like, you know, when you go in the Crystal Maze at the end and you get the gold tokens and the silver one. The silver's take away from the goal. They should take away from his goals.
You've scored 100 and whatever goals, but you dribbled the ball out of play.
114 times.
Opta need a department for that stuff.
They do. Yeah. Get Rich O'Brien in it.
Well, I mean, that's the solution to most things, for my money. This is harsh. Walcott gets his first goal of the season. I think his shots to
in
goals
February.
Ratio is got.
Walcott did complete a physical game.
I'm getting nowhere with this.
No.
I should say that Everton are ninth now at the time of recording. Because
hold the back page.
It should, they're on 33 points. They're just 3 points off that very achievable Europa League place.
How many points are they off 14th?
Yeah, well, 6 points separates Palace in 14th and Sheffield United in 5th. Bearing in mind, Sheffield United beat Palace on the weekend.
Mad.
That's how mental it is in that section of the league.
Yeah.
It's like the top sort of 10 of the Championship.
Are you hashtag against modern football?
No, I don't think so.
No, me either.
I'm for it all. For any football.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break and then we'll talk more football.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, Football Ramble Daily, everybody. It's now time for emails with Jimmy C.
Yes, it is.
Your email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now
Jim
is reading it out. Well done.
Jim, can I just ask a question? And you have to answer it honestly because you're among friends. Did you forget about the jingle again?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, I did. Welcome to the email section, the very professional email section. Start one from James Lawrence. When Pete gets in the mask, it takes me back to the sound quality of your earlier shows. That is the whole email.
By the way, shout
Thanks
out to
your
the,
support, James.
I can't remember your name, but shout, you know who you are. Shout out to the guy who sent us a video on Twitter of his kids singing the Masked Singer theme.
Oh yeah, absolutely brilliant.
It's
just
amazing,
heartwarming stuff.
Can I say who was the emailer there? James
Lawrence.
James or JL as I call him.
Yeah.
I just told somebody recently that we have been doing this podcast for a long, long time now.
Yeah. Mm.
Our first shows went on our MySpace page, and now.
Yeah, I think other football podcasts should put some respect on our names.
Exactly, yes, James. Now we're in our own studio and so on. It's been a long journey, and we're glad that you journeyed all the way with us.
And also, you got to understand, James, it's a fair point, but the man is literally putting a box over his head and then talking into a mic the other side of the box, even though he's passionate about sound quality. I don't know why he's doing it.
There is a James Lawrence who listens to the show I've met, who's also been a wrestler for a bit, so he and Pete should hang out.
Could be
not the Scottish chaps who...
No.
I always go on about it.
Anyway,
lads.
Yeah. It's like another email.
Yes. Yeah. It's great because you don't know there's an email jingle and Pete literally doesn't read the email.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing section.
Together. We should do it together.
Yeah, you should, yeah.
Pete does the buttons, I'll read them out. Yeah. Is there another jingle coming? Am I safe to
start? I'll do it at the end,
All right, cool. Yeah. Just throw one in whenever you want, actually.
Okay.
Great. So I want to, you know... I have to caveat this by saying I don't know why this tends to happen when I'm on email duty, but you'll see what I mean. Hey fellas, just popping in with my idea on how to fix the domestic cups.
Well, here we go.
The first and easiest step...
Not this guy. Is this the same fucking guy?
No, it's not. No, it's another one. Just pop... The first and easiest step is clearly to scrap the League Cup. Nonsense. Because its inclusion in the schedule affects the quality of the FA Cup later on due to the fixture pile-up. Now get this, guys. Secondly, since teams end up rotating their squad so heavily to stay fresh for their promotion pushes or relegation fights, the cup incentive should be tied to those goals. I propose that if teams reach a certain stage, maybe the semi-finals, they automatically get promoted to the next league or are saved from relegation for that year. This would prevent teams from the lower half of the Premier League and top halves of the Championship from rotating so heavily during the cup games. Lastly, and I admit this part is a little off the rails, this part...
Hang on a minute. That first part?
Yeah, I know. This isn't even the mad part.
I have to hear this bit now.
Yeah, but bear with me. I propose that teams that qualified for the previous season's top six finishers, teams that automatically qualified for European group stage competition, are required to rotate a certain amount of players for FA Cup games. These squads have much more natural depth, so forcing them to use their squads both ensures that their squad players get some game time and also provides more opportunities for cup sets. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Sean O'Brien in Boston, Massachusetts. Sean!
He's disgracing
knockout football's just good, isn't it? Why can't people
He's disgracing the good city of Boston there.
I mean... If anyone's got any worse ideas to change the cup, so we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible.
Please get them in. I think we might have, across this season, got the worst suggestions.
We are an absolute honeypot for the bees of shit ideas.
It's the only mugs that read them out. Do you think the BBC or any of the others are reading
them? What's that coming over the meadow? Oh, it's another shit idea bee.
Yeah.
Sticking itself in our honeypot. Do bees go to honeypots? They make honey, don't they?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they... It's 2020, I'm sure they do.
This studio is a big flower for the shit idea bees.
Huh. Honey to the bee,
that's you for me.
Billy Piper there. Don't hear her much anymore,
that
do you?
That was easily her best song.
Well, she was married to...
Chris Evans.
No, your favourite...
Lawrence Fox.
Yeah, your favourite...
Jim's favourite.
Deflected straight away. Donnie's favourite.
Yeah, I'm going to say the man's not here.
Not here to defend himself. Is that all the emails, Jim?
That is all the emails.
All right, great. Yeah, cheers.
Have you got a jingle pack?
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
It's time for the Bet Record score update.
Did we not win it this time?
I'm just trying to think of how to spin this one. Victor Lindelof didn't score first against Wolves.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, he did play.
It was a 0-0. Nobody scored.
Yeah, exactly. West Ham v Brighton, 0 Mopai, Jim. That was a no.
Nope.
We've already talked
nil,
about
no Mopai.
We have mentioned Lindelof. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang probably should have scored, but didn't.
Yeah, he should have.
And a 0-0 against Burnley. That was a... Jesus.
Terrible. Christ, yeah,
and Sergio Aguero probably should have opened the score in Marcus against Spurs, but he hit the post. That's a lovely save from Hugo Lloris. So betway.com/4 to score. We'll be back in with that one on Friday. Hopefully we'll do better than zero.
I feel like at this point we're detracting from charity rather than helping it.
But at least we're raising awareness.
Yeah.
I mean, we're raising awareness.
That's all we can do. Hmm. All right then. Back in the Premier League, there was a 6-goal thriller at the London Stadium. West Ham 3, Brighton 3.
Who's more angry, David Moyes or Nigel Pearson?
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think... Well, the Hammers are back in the relegation zone. And their upcoming fixtures are Man City away, Liverpool away, Southampton at home, Arsenal away, Wolves at home, Spurs away, Chelsea at home. There was a lot on this fixture.
Yeah.
So I think Moyes might be... He's looking very sort of... He's not lost hope yet.
Was he pleased with the defending for the Pascal Gross goal, do you think?
Gordon.
And was he happy that they let them back in by scoring their own goal?
Other than Liverpool, and at times Leicester, how bad is this Premier League season in terms of quality that you've seen?
Sheffield United, this is the thing. Sheffield United look like they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So you can kind of forgive Sheffield United for losing games against better teams or having an off day or whatever. They're new to the Premier League, etc., etc. So put them to one side. I said quite flippantly a few weeks ago, every other team has got the capacity to be totally shit other than Liverpool. Mm. But I do think that Liverpool are probably the only team who've got their stuff together. And they've got their shit together in an amazing way. But they still look like the only team who've really consistently got their act together. I mean, Leicester had a bit of a wobble, so maybe that's a bit harsh to say.
But they're having
that.
A good season.
They are. Man City are good, but by their own standards can be massively got at, and they're 8 points worse off than they were this time last season.
They're not having a good season by their own standards.
No. Feels to me that Chelsea have won one game in about the last 4 months.
Still fourth.
Yeah, but I think they've won two of their last six. Spurs, we know all about Spurs, and the rest of them, it's much of a muchness. Wolves, who I think of in my mind as being a good team, are capable of just turning in absolute dross.
I think we're in a situation where obviously Arsenal are terrible, Man United are in a difficult moment as well, Chelsea are in transition, and I think a lot of those other teams are quite evenly matched. Mm. So that has created this strange idea that everyone's about the same.
But down the bottom, though, it's interesting, though, because Brighton are on 26 points, same as Bournemouth. Villa are on 25. West Ham in 18th are on 24. Watford have 23. I mean, the relegation battle is heating
it
up.
Is. And you're right to point out that run that West Ham have got, Marcus, because obviously I know that, you know,
they're not going to get much from it.
Also have to play games. This is such a tough running for them.
We got a tweet.
Did we?
I can't remember it's from, but they said, oh, you guys, you always say Norwich are really shit. You should watch more of their games, and then you'll know that they're not shit. And it's
I'd just like to point
out
that
four games all season.
When I talked about the relegation battle heating up, and I mentioned those teams, I didn't mention Norwich because they're a little bit off that group.
I mean, there's no,
that's how bad it is.
To
be fair to old Billy Tweet, you know they're good to watch, aren't they? Norwich when they have those periods in games where they play good football, and Buendia's a very good player. Todd Cantwell's enjoyable. Team of Pookies, they've got good players and they've got a likeable style, but I mean, they're where they are for a reason.
They beat Burnley, that was in the cup, wasn't it? They beat Bournemouth 1-0 at home in a game where both teams had a player sent off, and that's the only game they've won in the league since towards the end of November.
Yeah,
they're not by any Hang measure. They're not a good team.
You go to St James's Park and keep a clean sheet, mate.
True, actually.
Have a bit of respect for that. But, well, West Ham.
I do like Todd Cantwell, by the way. He's a good player.
Yeah, we all do. The Hammers, yeah, they were 3-1 up against Brighton.
Yeah, sorry, we've not been taking the piss out of this nearly enough.
I was about to say, Jim, let's bring it back here. I mean, the first Brighton goal was an own goal.
Oh, it was amazing. Of Bonner's face afterwards.
Well, yeah.
But he had no idea. He felt like, it was like he thought someone had like slapped him in the back of the head.
Yeah.
He turned around and was like, what?
Was it not one of those? Was it not one of those? So there's a certain category of goal where you think, I don't know of anyone around. I understand why the rule has to exist, but I don't know of anyone around who would be happy with this situation. Oh, Bonner should not be given that own goal.
Mm.
Should be given to Fabianski.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
If someone picks up the ball in the halfway line, goes around three players and pings one off the crossbar, and it hits the back of the goalkeeper and goes in. Goalkeeper own goal. Should not be a goalkeeper own goal.
But it has to be.
I know it has to be, but I'm not happy about it.
Yeah. Well,
it's one of those, isn't it? Bonner's done nothing there.
No, if you send that really to the dubious goals panel, they're sending it right back.
Of course they are.
Don't waste our time.
Probably penalising me a goal for a frivolous appeal.
Bonner made a couple of dicey challenges as well, didn't he, later on in the game. I think that obviously got to him. It's really harsh. He's like, he felt like he had to make up for something that he didn't actually have anything to do with.
I know. But if you think about Moyes teams, he tries to make them solid defensively. And especially if you're down in the relegation zone, first things first, shore it up at the back. When you see that first goal they concede against Brighton, they're 2-0 up at that point. You think, flipping heck, that's okay, but you're still 2-1 up. They get 3-1 up. They're at home. It's a game that they need to win, really. And then that second goal, the defensive mix-up, somebody take charge. Someone swing a boot here. I know whoever it was tries to head it back to the keeper, but come on. Mm. Like if you're in the crowd there at West Ham, you're just thinking bloody hellfire. And then of course 36-year-old Glennie Murray gets the equaliser and the VAR and all that sort of stuff. And the home crowd saw the replay of the goal and you could hear their reaction
It was so tight, wasn't it? Even seeing it on TV, like from a certain angle, which I believe was the angle that was played in the stadium, it really looked like it brushed his arm, but it didn't.
Mm.
You can see why in the stadium you would think that was a mad decision.
I think that's an awful, awful result for West Ham.
It is.
Considering massively. And I think they're in real trouble.
Something that I forgot to mention at the time, we just didn't get around to it. When West Ham played Wolves away and Wolves won 2-0, Aaron Cresswell played left back and he was up against Traore and he looked absolutely terrified. And I wonder if he's ever been the same since. I remember used to think of him as quite a good player, but I can't really provide any evidence for that recently.
He scored a few goals from this season as well. He's a funny player, Cresswell. I think he was a bit of a fan's favourite a few years ago, but I'm not so sure its status.
When they signed him, going back a bit now, my memory's not what it was, but when they signed him, I believe people were saying that this is the best fullback in the Championship and he could probably go to a host of different clubs.
Yeah.
But I was just going to say, at the risk of sort of going even further than what you're saying, Marcus, and risking the ire of some West Ham fans who, let's face it, have suffered enough.
Mm. Well, they know, though.
I was just going to go further than that. Mm. I was going to be even more negative and say, two of the goals, Snodgrass was just swinging a leg at it and they were both deflected in. And in any other game, they could have gone anywhere.
Yeah, but they went in, though, didn't they? I mean,
deflected, both of them, though.
Yes, but you need a little bit of luck.
I think they were both deflected.
You've got to shoot to score, haven't you? You've got to try and be positive and try and make things happen. And Snodgrass is pretty good for sort of scruff of the net goals, isn't he?
Mm. What do you think of Brighton signing Tarek Lamptey from Chelsea for £3 million?
£3 million, I think that's a very good deal. I mean, I know he's young and he's played a lot, but he might only have played one professional game, isn't it, against Arsenal?
Yeah, in the league, certainly.
He looks very quick.
He does.
Mm. I'm surprised it's a permanent deal.
I was as well. I think with Chelsea, though, that they loan out so many young players. I think a few of them now have seen what can be achieved if you actually leave permanently. Mm. You can settle somewhere or at least have a go at that. And it's at a Premier League club where he will play probably more minutes than he would at Chelsea, you would imagine, going on how many.
It might just be that they've decided not to renew it. His contract, he's out in the summer, or he wants to move. And
there's all sorts of reasons, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know the infinite ins and outs of it.
Well, and clubs need to balance the books as well, you know. Mm. So, I mean, £3 million is not to be sniffed at, I suppose. But yeah, I look forward to seeing him in a Brighton jersey. At Old Trafford, Manchester United drew 0-0 with Wolves. It was put to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the post-match that Wolves are a tough team to play against. And Ole responded by saying that Manchester United had shown Wolves that they're a tough team to
play
against.
That was embarrassing, wasn't it?
He's good for these kind of
quotes. There's no other word for it. It was absolutely embarrassing when he said that. I like him, but he's doing my head in now. Just be better.
Yeah. Wolves are a tricky opponent. Well, we're a tricky opponent as well. Yeah, I know, you're Manchester United at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Everyone knows you.
Yeah.
a home ground that was so synonymous with amazing performances that it genuinely nicknamed the Theatre of Dreams.
I mean, imagine in Serie A.
Take a moment just to fucking remember that.
I know. Imagine in Serie A, Juventus at home to clearly a lesser opposition, and Sarri with a tab on, just go, well, they're
tricky. Eating
loads of cigarettes. Yeah.
He's got so many cigarettes in his mouth, you can't
barely hear
him.
Yeah. And he goes, we're tough to play against. Suddenly he's Frank Clark.
But, I mean,
it just wouldn't happen, would it?
I just don't understand how this is even possible. I mean, I watched this game, and I was on the radio on Friday night on Transfer Deadline Day, hosting the show, and lots was going on.
And
breaking news every 5 minutes. Fucking nightmare, to be honest. But you get through it, and I did not expect to be speaking quite so often about Odi and Ighalo.
Unbelievable.
And then someone tells me, off the record, I won't say you told me, but it's a credible source, someone told me that they inquired after Josh King, and then they were told, oh no, he will only move on a permanent. He loves Man United, obviously came through there, he'd be interested, but you have to sign him on a permanent. And Bournemouth don't want to sell, so it's going to cost you a lot of money. And then Man United went back to the agent and said, all right, well, have you got anyone else? This is Manchester United, and they said, we've got Odi Ighalo, he's available on a loan, you've got to pay a third of his wages, he's on 300 grand a week, fine, we'll take him.
Yeah, but wasn't the talk that his agent,
I mean, people listening can't see my face at the moment, but you could imagine what it's like. It's amazing.
There was talk,
sorry Jim, I'm very passionate about this. I will let you come in.
He's been waiting a whole show for this.
This is the main course for me.
Do you want a cup of tea, Marcus?
Every single point that anyone at Man United, whether a fan, player, manager, anything, says about this, you can just respond with, but you're Man United.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like you haven't heard this, Luke. This might actually make your ire worse. Apparently Odi Ighalo's agent is a Norwegian guy that he knows from the Norwegian league, so it's not like he's phoning around Mendes or
I also had to stop and edit Lars Sivertsen on the continent a couple of weeks ago, talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because of that kind of thing about agents and all that kind of stuff. So it's bizarre. It's just bizarre how it's come to this.
But if you look at the list of players, the strikers that they were linked with, and obviously you've got to take some of it with a pinch of salt, it's like one of us not really trying at going for Glold. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, I know it's a striker, so I'm just going to name loads of them.
I mean, that I have fallen back on that strategy.
We've all done it, Marcus, and we'll do it again.
And we will.
What is this game you speak of?
Oh, sorry, the Masked Winger.
Yeah.
Masked Winger.
And it would have to be a winger.
So my follow-up question to all this is in two parts. How and why has Bruno Fernandes gone there?
Well, that's another question entirely.
Is he not hurt? Is he not? Yeah. Man United. Well, that team that, they won loads.
Oh, if I was a Man United fan, I'd be very, very positive.
That is an incredible signing.
I'm very positive about his debut. When we saw him play last season at Sporting.
Best player on the pitch.
Yeah, and not only that, you're absolutely right, but not only that, he kind of marshals things. As we said at the time, he directs the play. And for him to come in on his debut in a difficult situation against a good team and do that again.
Well, Man United are a good team as well.
That's true. Yeah, I don't mean to disrespect them.
And he hasn't got Ighalo to run onto those balls yet.
Odi and Ighalo's Man United. He was directing the play as well, and he slotted straight in there. And a lot was made of the fact that part of the reason they wanted him is because he's this big personality and he's a leader, and they need that. And they do need that. And it's a really positive thing. It's a really good thing to be positive about. And I hope he does well there. And I hope he takes them back to where they want to be. But there's no strategy. There's just no strategy. And you can't brief, whether you're off the pitch, you can't go and brief the press and say, we've got a plan, we've got a strategy, we believe in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Even if they have a situation where they are seeing something in Solskjaer that no one else is seeing, it's absolutely their prerogative. They can do what they want. They run the club how they want. Yeah. Don't behave like that in the transfer window, though, and think everyone's going to take you seriously, because they're fucking not. And nor should they, to be honest. Nor should they.
But the Bruno Fernandes signing, though, that's the kind of signing that I think it's a superb signing.
I think a lot of people were surprised that actually happened.
I do, because
they've really pulled off a coup there.
They have, and you have to give them credit there. Yeah. And actually, when you say there's no strategy, I totally agree with you. However, if you want a big signing who will make a difference, and actually the leadership on the pitch and the lack of ideas and so on the pitch, someone like Fernandes is a great, even if it's short term, and when I say short term, I mean a season or two in this day and age, that is a great signing. So they have to be credited and be given a bit of kudos there to outmuscle a lot of other top sides in on the continent to do that, and back home here in England as well. I wonder, though, with Fernandes, his thinking. He's never played for a top team. He had a spell in Italy with, was it Sampdoria and Udinese, I think? But he didn't play for the top sides. And obviously he's been playing at Sporting, who are really the third best side, generally, in Portugal. Now, he won the cup, but he's not won the league there. He's, what, 24, 25 now? So still,
he's 25, yeah.
Yeah, so still young, but not sort of 19, 20. And I wonder for him if he wants to go to a team where he is going to be the main man or one of the main men. Do you know what I mean?
Probably impatient to join the elite clubs, which Man United still are in name, of course.
Well, that's why we're so flabbergasted by what's been going on.
But sadly, I think a combination of what you guys are saying there is right. I mean, we heard on the continent when we talked about Fernandes when he went to Italy, he didn't pull up huge amount of trees, wanted to go back to Portugal, did that, has become a better player. And is now ready to make a step up. Everyone seems who knows much more about football than me seems to think that. But I wonder if he thinks, well, I'll go to Man United, they pay me a shitload of money,
yeah.
I'll play every game because they're in a bit of a nightmare state. I'm used to playing in this environment where I'm the best player.
Yes.
It probably means that that means that I can be, well, it definitely means I'll be seen every week by the world's press and everything like that. And in 2 years' time, if it goes well, I'll go to Real Madrid.
Yeah, I think there might well be.
Because then now there is a situation where if you leave Man United, you can go better. You never used to be able to.
Yeah.
You could understand why Cristiano Ronaldo wanted to go to Real Madrid because of his background and he always wanted to go there. But you couldn't argue that was necessarily an upward step. It's probably a sideways step at that point.
Mm.
In terms of size of club.
Yeah, okay.
But it was down to his personal choice. Now, no one can say that going from Man United to Real Madrid isn't a step up.
No,
absolutely right. But yeah, I think what you're saying about Fernandes is very true there. And also, if he doesn't play that, you know, the pressure's off a bit. But also, he may well like the fact that they really, really courted him. I mean, let's be honest, you know, if a team really wants you, I mean, this has gone on and on and on, this transfer saga, which finally has come to an end.
Well, Mourinho seemed to intimate, as we said on the show, that he thought it wasn't going to happen. He was being very smug about it.
I told you, it's next season, we'll see the full Mourinho.
But Jose had obviously just been on the phone to George Mendes.
Well, he probably was trying to say, just for a laugh.
Yeah.
Don't sell him.
Because people read between the lines saying, oh, he's going to wait and he's going to go to Spurs and play for Mourinho in the summer. Obviously, that hasn't happened.
The reason he says that is so that, you know, later on, I don't know, they can go, we did get him in the end. And then Spurs will nullify him in a game and Mourinho go, yeah, but should you have got him? He's always like nine steps ahead, isn't he, Mourinho? Yeah. There's always a plan.
It's intriguing theory.
Sorry to change the subject, but do you guys see Mbwana Samata for Aston Villa?
Oh yes,
with his header.
Making a bit of history.
Yeah, he became the first Tanzanian to feature in the Premier League.
Oh wow!
Did you know how many different nations have now been represented in the Premier League?
60.
100 on the dot?
Nah, 60 is a terrible guess.
Yeah, do you mind another guy, Marcus?
117.
You knew that, didn't you? 117 different countries represented in the Premier League. It's amazing.
It's nice. Yeah,
so good on him. He got a goal as well, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, I think he became the 100th. He might have become the 100th player from 100th nationality to score.
Right.
But it's 117th nation in total to be represented in the Premier League.
How about that?
A nice little thing.
How about that? That's nice.
Did you see what happened in Spain's second division?
It was amazing. This is amazing.
This is so good. There's a VAR call. And firstly, all right, Spain, VAR in your Segunda division.
Yeah.
Someone's doing all right.
Yeah.
So there's a team called Fuenlabrada.
No controversy about it in this one.
Yeah. It's a guy called Cristobal Marquez. He was showing a straight red and he left the pitch, went down the tunnel, as you do. Then the referee went back to look at the foul on the pitch side monitor. He checked it, decided to reverse it, and he was called back from the dressing room and it was downgraded to a yellow. Then, before the play could resume, he got into a confrontation with a Girona player. And both players were then booked because of that, and that being his now second yellow, he was just sent off again.
That is excellent.
Brilliant.
And they lost as well.
Yeah.
Slugs.
Yeah.
Absolute slugs.
Brilliant. That's such a good story.
That's a good way to finish the podcast. It is. Appreciate that, mate. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble.
Whoa, that's loud.
Oi, 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 oi.
Donnie on the ones and twos, that's
why. Hey, still in control from afar.
Yeah.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Jules and Andy are back tomorrow, of course, talking about those footballs. Thank you, Luke.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
See you on Friday.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.